We just pray right now, Lord, let your glory, your presence fill this place, Lord. God, we ask you to fill this place. Lord, we are nothing without your presence. We're nothing without the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit upon us and in us and through us. We are nothing. It doesn't matter how religious we look. It doesn't matter how much knowledge we have. It doesn't matter how gifted we are in the natural. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have you, Lord. It is your grace. And your grace, Lord, is your power upon us to help us do what we cannot do. Lord, I am grateful for your grace and your mercy, for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that destroys Satan's work. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead. And as you promised, you sent your Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us and through us. And Lord, I thank you. You promised where two or three are gathered together in the midst, in your name, you promised to be there. Lord, you promised where people gather to truly worship, that you would inhabit those praises. Lord, you're here today. I sense your presence. I know you have a plan for us today. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church this morning. Everyone here, those watching by Facebook live on Mixler and Blog Talk Radio, everything rolling good back there. All right. Praise God. You know, before, goodness, it's been kind of a whirlwind this week. Of course, we knew our friends from Canada were coming in. The LeBlanc family is here. James and Rhonda and Roman and Cole, they're here. Many of you, you've heard me share some of the testimonies. How long have you guys been listening and watching from Canada? 3 years. Wow. So they've been listening and watching and from Canada for 3 years. And of course, we've Skyped and emailed, and we felt like, I mean, even though this is our first time to see them face to face, we felt like we already knew them anyway. So, but they came a long way just to visit with us. And I had this whole long message plan and PowerPoint and everything else. But of course, as you guys know, that's always subject to change at the last minute anyway. We'll get to that one day. But even before that, even before I knew I would scrap this message today and move on, I felt like I was supposed to ask them if they would like to share some testimonies. And I didn't want to put any pressure on them, so I was ready to go either way. But I praise God that they're willing to share some of the things that God has done in their lives through our ministry, but also just done in their lives, period. So I've asked them this morning if they would share some testimonies, and they're going to do that. And then who knows where we're going to go from there. I told them to take as long as they like. There's been some pretty awesome things happen, some deliverance, some miracles, and just growth, just amazing things that God's doing. And I'm almost jealous of what's going on in Canada. I wish more of it was going on here. we may have to do that. But anyway, so without any further ado, we will invite James and Rhonda. Are you guys going to come? All right. However y'all want to do it. I mean, there's nothing prescribed here, but here we go. This will be that right there.
Keep this up close, right?
Yes, sir. And, of course, remember now that Facebook is not connected to that. So you kind of still have to project it out.
Project.
Yes.
Okay, so come out here so I don't need to.
You don't have to come so close. You just have to speak loud.
I just need to speak loud. Okay. well, it's amazing to be here with you in person. It's we feel like we're – this is our home church away from home is kind of how we feel about it. And to be able to be here in person is great and also challenging. You may have experienced being around Pastor Dean as a continually challenging in a good way thing. He, you know, and for myself, as I was worshiping and sitting here thinking about this, I realized I've never stood up and spoken my testimony. I've never kind of done that in person. And so just very quickly, some of the multitudes of things that ran through my head was, I don't want to do this. This is self. Then through him, I can do all things through him that strengthens me is, the comeback to that. And I'm not sure exactly what kind of order this is going to come out tonight, but I did want to talk about just how blessed this church has, how much of a gift it's been to our family. It's been an amazing discovery for us over the past 3 years and more in terms of growth, in terms of seeing what's real. What's real in terms of what's really happening in the world, in terms of not what's happening in our own personal lives and what's happening in the spiritual. I grew up I'm not going to go all the way back to the very beginning of time, but I did grow up in a Catholic home. You know, there was a faith element, but it really wasn't a personal thing. And it was, it was very routine and it was very easy for me to fall away from that as I became older and went to university and, there was something there, but not really anything that, played a major part in my life. And then, have followed a very interesting, trail back over the years. I think, as Rhonda and I met and became closer, we wrote, she first and then myself. Sometimes they're a little smarter, quicker on the draw than we are. So drawn back to becoming involved in church, and this was through a Baptist community. So it was very different for me coming from a Catholic to even Baptist, and think of where we're at today. Wow. I'll fast forward to over the last few years, and there was elements, there was things missing, and we really started doing a lot deeper reading on our own and looking for pastors online and listening to pastors that were speaking the whole truth of the Bible. And, you can call it an Acts 2 church or whatever, you know what I mean? Somebody that believed in all of the gifts in that they're powerful and they live and they exist today. And all of this very new, to us, but it's been really amazing how God has proved over and over and over again to us that if you lean in, if you step out, if you do the things that you might not want to do, like stand up in front of people that you feel like you know, but you've just meant to give a testimony. Like today, he's faithful, and he will reward you for that. I mean, I think of, you know, I kind of think of my, I'm a servant, and I'm not even a good one, but I'm growing. And I'm doing whatever I can to lean in and follow his will. There's areas, there's truths that are still being uncovered to us. And, but it's an amazing, powerful, sometimes scary journey. But what I guess if I would share one thing I've learned over the last 3 years is don't wait till you feel like it sometimes, if you know what I mean. Sometimes you got to just step into it and say, it doesn't matter if I feel like it. He's telling me to do it. It's clear in his word. It's clear in the people that he brings into your life challenging you. And it's clear that you just step into it and he gives you the strength to do what you need to do. And then bang, that's the next part of your journey. I am almost thankful that I have a long way to go because there is so much to God and there's so much to learn. And I know this journey is going to be way bigger than I can ever imagine, but I'm so blessed and thankful for this church and this congregation and you, Dean, and you, Nancy, for how you guys have helped point us in the right direction, help uncover some truths and help us challenge things within our lives that are hard to take a look at. I think it was recently you were talking about you need to look in the mirror, right? And see, take a good look and see, you know, what you need to work on and what God's telling you. You need to look in the mirror by reading in his truth in the Bible and understand what that's uncovering in your life. And it's been a really amazing journey for us, for me personally. I've seen, I guess I'll wrap up because I think you want some, I think over the last 2 or 3 years, things I would have never thought would happen to me or that I would have been able to do. Well, considering 3 or 4 years ago, we didn't even realize, wow, healing was a major thing. Well, God healed, but God healed. You didn't have the power to heal. You couldn't pray. You couldn't lay on hands. That was something that I didn't understand. I've had the experience of laying hands and on somebody and praying for them and seeing them immediately start to get better and to have something reverse. And I've had good coaching and learning in terms of if you pray for someone and you feel, but well, I feel about the same. Okay, let's do it again. Like I never would have known to just lean in and do that. You know, baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, that amazing communion that you can get when you're in that mode, when you don't know what to say, but now you have a way to say it. And the changes in our life, in our family, and the ability for us, the closeness within our family. And it's challenging. There's times, and I don't know who I'm saying this for, maybe I'm saying this for me, but there's times in your growth that certain folks in your family get to a point or to a truth before, you know, let's say Rhonda gets to a truth before I do. You kind of feel that tug before we all kind of like, but that's okay. That's normal, right? We just need to be, you know, we need to be patient with each other and our family. And most importantly, I've learned is just to pray, right? Because he's in control. And that's really, I didn't know what I was going to say this morning. I had no idea. Dean mentioned something last night other than my initial reaction of no. I said, you know, and I was praying this morning, just like, Holy Spirit, whatever you want me to say, whatever I want to share. I mean, other than we've just been so blessed and so lucky. And it's not, I guess I feel like I need to say is, it's not always been easy, but that's okay. It's not always supposed to be easy. That growth from intentional discomfort that the Lord places on your heart is actually a blessing. And when you feel a little discouraged or when you feel frustrated, just remember, you know, sometimes you need a little agitation for growth. And I try and remind myself that when I'm feeling that agitation, because probably means I need to grow somewhere. So I think that's all I have to say right now. Do you want to come? She's more eloquent than I am. So.
Well, it was funny because when we first planned to come, we were very excited about it, and I had an immediate sense from the Lord that He was going to push us in a direction that there was going to be an area of growth. And so I kept hearing this, and I was like, okay. And so one day I had said to James, I said, so you know there's going to be a little stretching during this trip. And he's like, are you just getting that now? And I was like, no, I just didn't know if I wanted to like forewarn you about this. So then, of course, Pastor Dean asked us last night, would you mind sharing your testimony? So I'm like, well, I guess we're ripping the Band-Aid off fast because here we go. Because, again, I also have never done that. And public speaking is a very uncomfortable thing for me. But, again, as James had mentioned, it's not about self. It's about dying to flesh. And any time we're given a testimony, it's for the glory of God. And what He's done in our family is amazing, because I cry now. I never did before, but now it's worship is just, it's my heart, my favorite time. And I grew up in my dad was Catholic, my mom was Baptist, and thank the Lord for my mother. She insisted upon us being in church every Sunday. And from a little girl, I heard some truth. But what I did really gain was the knowledge deep in my heart of faith of who He was. I knew, I never questioned once that He existed, that He loved me. And I knew if there was ever any separation, it wasn't Him moving from me. It was always me moving from Him. And so, again, growing, learning that He was there, but not really having a relationship. I didn't understand the fullness of God. Again, we didn't understand the gifts of the Spirit. We believed that there was eternal salvation, that once you said this prayer, you were good no matter how you lived. And again, I felt this tug shortly after James and I started dating. And I knew He was drawing me. And so I said, I have to get back into church. And so I had started going on my own. And boy, I tell you, I'm thankful for stewards that just the little things. I did have a youth pastor growing up in the church that was just so welcoming and so loving. And I thought, I had gone away from the church in my teenage years. And so I knew, I said, oh, if that one brother is there, I know there will be one face happy to see me there. And sure enough, what was the first face I saw? And he got me engaged and got me in a church and helped teach me. And one Sunday, I remember hearing the pastor preach about what Jesus had done for me on the cross. And it was very detailed description of what He physically went through. And I had been living these years of, oh, God, I know I'll get saved one day. I know You're there, but I'm just having fun right now living my life. I don't want to give up the things that I enjoy now. You know, I'll put that aside later. And when I was confronted with how much He loves me, how could I deny Him any longer? And that was it for me. And I grew and in knowledge, and I grew in prayer, and I had the joy of the Lord, and I understood that. But my learning kind of got stale, again, with some doctrinal beliefs that weren't scriptural. And so I was living my life. I was trying to do the good Christian girl thing and raise a family and go to church and check the boxes, you know? And then again, I felt this drawing around Christmas 3 years ago about end times. And I've always had a love for end time prophecy. It just, it's something in me. And so again, I'm not even sure why, but I stumbled upon one of your YouTube videos, and it was talking about the coming destruction on America. And I was like, wait a minute, God still talks to people? I thought that was something in the Bible, like way back. And so that really, I heard what you said in the prophecy, but I was, what struck me was he still talks, that this happens. So I started digging through more, and I'm like, okay, well, who's this guy that God talks to? So I started digging through more and trying to find more. And I then started to uncover through the teaching truth of what I had believed, but what the Bible really says. And what I love about your teaching is it's not taking a scripture out of context or just taking here. It's going through. It's really studying. I've been taught to study now. And that was a blessing. And so I've been learning more and more and understanding and being able to see plainly in the Word. That's not what you said. And so there was a lot that I had to change my thinking on as he was revealing himself to me. And so, again, that caused a lot of change. And it led to us finding a new church. Where we're now really, really blessed to be. But for really the last 3 years, you people have been our church. We have grown right along with you because this was the only place we could find truth in this world of what God's word really says. And so we've really said, you know, this is our home church. It's where we found God, and now it's having this relationship and hearing him and feeling him and talking to him, and he talks to me now. I mean, that is just the coolest thing. I'll just never get over that. I just won't. But again, as James said, we were just convinced enough that whatever he said in his word, we were just going to believe it. So we now viewed the Bible in a literal interpretation, because when you do that, everything falls into place. It makes so much more sense. And so I just choose to believe him. So if he says I can do this, okay, let's do it. I'll just limp along, but you'll figure it out. And, you know, Mark 16 is really, that is the verses there that 15 to 19, these signs follow them that believe and are baptized. And I'm going through the list, I'm like, wow, this is for all of us that believe. And I didn't know. But now we're just embracing all of them. I'm like, okay, I want to have it all. I want it all. Like, whatever you have, I want it all. And so we've stepped into that. So, and I have to say, like, Pastor Dean and Nancy have been so amazing. We have never had pastors come alongside us and help us the way that you have, really. And you've been so patient. As you can tell, I can talk. So it's been some long Skype calls, and they've been so patient. And my litany of questions to Pastor Dean in the early days, and he was so gracious to answer every single one. And there was never a question, and we would always go back and take what he taught and just put it against the word, and everything was confirmed to us. And so we have seen miracles. I personally have had a health issue back a number of years ago when we first started really getting these truths and started changing in our family. Pretty quickly we became under attack, and it came on so suddenly that I went, oh, I think I know what this is. Because I then all of a sudden knew, oh, there's demons. I didn't know that before. So understanding this, I was like, okay, Lord, this is because of this, right? And so I got up and it was just so obvious that there was something wrong. And I said, okay, I'm just choosing to not believe that this is, I know what this is. This is attack. So Lord, I'm turning it over to you. You are in control of this. And I rebuke this. And every morning I would get up and I would say, Lord, I know that you're taking this away. And I would just thank him. I never prayed again for this. It would just, I was thanking him. I was praising him because I knew he was already doing it. And within about 6 weeks or so, going through and having all the medical testing, I remember they called me back up again and said, well, you know, it's time for you to kind of come back and have your other mammogram. And I was like, no, I don't need that. I'm healed. And then I thought, oh, I should go because that's a good testimony. And so I did. And so again, back to giving a little bit more of the story, I thought I had one lump in my breast. I went in for a mammogram, found out I had three massive ones. And so within a few weeks of praying and going through as they were getting me through the system to do surgery and whatnot, I was like, no, no. And so I said, but go do another ultrasound. Go do another mammogram. And they were completely gone. All three. And that's where the ball started. So as we're having this journey, my mom is having this journey with us. And she was a very proud Baptist. And so she has had major health issues all of her life. And the latest thing, one of the latest things, was she had arthritis in both of her knees so badly. She was on a wait list for surgery for 3.5 years, and it was getting so bad that her knees were then buckling backward. And so she had to go to the doctor, and the doctor said, you're going to need braces so that your knees no longer bend backward. And so we had been talking and sharing, and she'd been listening and about healing. And I would say to her, I was like, no, we just need to pray. And so she was kind of getting there, but it was still the deep end of the pool. And so she would come, and she came this one day and said, well, you know, the doctor said I need braces on both my knees. It's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. And I just sat there quietly, and she said, you don't think I need them, do you? And I said, oh, I know you don't. And so she was a little upset with me about that. But she went home that night, and the next morning she got up to pray, as she always did. She gets up every morning for a couple of hours, and she prays, and she reads her Bible. And I think she's still a little miffed, but she said, okay, Lord, if this is real, if this is what you want for me, then I want you to heal my knees. And so she was sitting in her recliner, and she was, again, still reading. And she said she felt this heat around her knees, and she just thought, oh, okay, here, it's a new issue. And until she got up, probably about an hour later, and she stood. And she said she knew as soon as she stood, something was different. So she stopped and said, okay, Lord, if this is you, I want to be able to bend down. She has not been able to do that in almost 5 years. And she went right down to the ground, not holding on to anything, and straight back up. It took her about 5 minutes to get to my house. So she got to my house, and I'm running around. It's kind of a crazy time, and she's just talking, and I'm kind of not paying attention. And she said, you didn't notice. And I'm like, I'm looking at her hair. Did she get a haircut? And I said, notice. And I'm just kind of looking. I was like, notice what? And she literally stood in front of me, knelt straight down, holding on to nothing, and straight back up. You could have blown me over with a feather. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And we were just, I mean, we can't stop talking about it still, and it's almost a year now. We're just so excited. Well, no more excited than she is. She's telling everybody. My mom is a very quiet, shy person, and she's literally telling the girl behind the counter at the coffee shop. And if she hears God say, tell her my story, she tells her story. And she's had amazing testimonies of people that she's told. And, you know, they're like, you have no idea what you've just done for me. And it's just being obedient to hearing that voice and going ahead and doing so. So, you know, we've just seen so much change, and it's been amazing in our family. And we love you guys so much. We pray for you. We're with you every Sunday morning. We go to our church, and then we come home and we sit down and we go to church with you again. And it was funny, when we came, we had wanted to bring something to the church, just to kind of, again, remember that we're with you every Sunday. We really, really do believe that you are our Alabama church. And so one of the things that we wanted to bring, we were searching high and low. I mean, we live in Atlanta, Canada, so lighthouses are everywhere. And so, but you wouldn't believe how hard this was to find. But we wanted to bring this with you, just even to set at the back. So just to remember that we're with you every Sunday. We really do think of you as family. And it was funny, I was praying this morning, and the Lord just gave to me that, so the purpose of the lighthouse is to warn sailors of the rocks and the dangers. And this church is a lighthouse. It is warning of the dangers. It's warning of the rocks you don't yet see. This ministry is so important. You are so blessed. Trust me, we thought about moving to Alabama. But we just are so thankful for you all. We really are. And so we just... we're just so happy to finally be here with you. So thank you.
Lord thy God, I say to you this day, if my people would lay down their lives and come after me, they can all walk in my power. They can all lay hands on the sick and heal them. They can all raise the dead. If my people would lay down their lives and come after me and become my children. Seek me. Forget your lives. Seek me. Come after me. And I will live through you. And you will walk in the power that I have. Thus saith the Lord. Amen.
Wow. Yes. You know, that word of prophecy, what you guys shared, really it is, in a nutshell, how important, how important every single truth in the Bible is. Jesus has not changed one bit. Hebrews 13:8 is very clear. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He gave his disciples power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper. And he said, this power, this anointing, I give to those that believe. See, the key is you have to believe it, not just believe in Jesus. You have to believe what he said about it. But this right here, I want to tell you, when you pull this out, does this look familiar? This right here is, you wouldn't believe it because I think they're all stored somewhere. How many of these I have? And I'm not saying that it's a confirmation, because my girls, Caitlin and Bethany, when they were younger, nearly every Christmas, every birthday, they knew I loved lighthouses, and they would always get me lighthouses. So I have a bunch of these, but this one means a lot. Because you know what? The Lord told us here at this church just to be faithful, just to keep being faithful, And I remember when I get, sometimes I get so tired and I get so attacked by the enemy, I go through, sometimes I feel like I am just treading water in a storm. You know, I'm just trying to stay afloat. And the Lord will say, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. That's what he continually tells me. And then I will remind him, I said, they're your sheep and they're your lambs and I'm dying here. So if you don't do it through me, if you don't help me, I can't do it. And that's something, I guess, out of all of this, I want to say to all of us. There's got to be, no matter how, you know, sometimes I know I appear to be confident, or and some people call it arrogant, some people call it pride. It's boldness, really, is what it is. But most of the time, what people don't understand is, as Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And literally what he's talking about, sometimes the pressure to preach and teach, the pressure to stand for the truth, just like James was saying, it's not always easy to stand for the truth, to accept it, to believe it, to step out and preach it or to share it or to lay hands on somebody or pray for somebody or cast a demon out of somebody. I mean, and then, you know, you get all the opposition of people and even some Christian people, family members, but especially the demonic realm in it. So it can become overwhelming. But it's to remind us, I think the Lord allows that to remind us that in ourselves, and I trust me, I may come across, again, as overly confident or too bold or too strong, but I can tell you this, every single week, every single Sunday morning, I'm sitting there going, God, I can't do this unless you do it. And that's what we have to be. It's like, Lord, I know that in myself, if the Holy Spirit stepped aside, I would crumble and fall apart. I would fall down. I would mess up. I couldn't even stand up here. Physically, I couldn't even do it. So, you know, this, and that's what I love about this. And I hope our church, I hope one thing you take from these testimonies, I hope you take how the truth of how much we need to press in for more. We need to press in to be closer to Jesus, for to press into the Word of God and not just hear it, but absorb it and make it part of our lives, to press in for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate in us more frequently, more powerfully. I'm telling you, that's this morning during worship, this morning listening to you guys, I'm thinking back over the years. I'm thinking back when we were seeing a lot more of this, the crippled walking, the deaf hearing, the dead being raised, demons being cast out, cancer disappearing. And I think the reason, you know, Leonard, the late Leonard Ravenhill, the great Leonard Ravenhill, you know, the author of like Why Revival Tarries and all those books and revival prayer, you know, he used to say, you know why we don't have revival? He said, because we're content to live without it. The greatest problem within Christians is being content with what they have or where they are or what they think they know, instead of pressing in for more, more understanding, more revelation, more truth, to be more like Jesus, more righteous, more holy, more obedient, and yes, more anointed. You know, if I can say anything, what we must as believers cry out for more and more is to be anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just to speak in tongues. It's not just for yourself. I think about this. I sit here and I listen to these testimonies, like about your mom and how she's telling everybody. I mean, it's a domino effect. When we stand for truth, the truth of God's word, when we proclaim it, when we lay hands on people, when we stand and we put forth the name of Jesus with power, it makes a difference in so many people's lives. We don't even, we will never know fully until we get to heaven, the impact that we've made by standing for truth, by being bold, by being strong, by stepping out in faith, by being willing to take all the spiritual warfare, to take all of the persecution, to take all of the rejection, to take all of the negativity and hatred and everything else you get from even sometimes family members and believers and other people who claim to be Christians. But it's all worth it. You know, it's worth it. It's worth it to see a family growing, getting, understanding the warfare that you face and knowing how to fight the demons off of your family, being healed. I mean, I hear people all the time, these things don't matter. We shouldn't preach nothing but just salvation. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. No, it matters. It matters to your mom that she can walk and bend down and, you know, it matters. Those things matter. But more than anything, folks, it shows us. Listen to me. It shows us one thing. When God does these things, it shows us that it's real. It's not just a story. It's not just history. It's not just, you know, something, you know, a list of a religious creed that we say we check off. I believe A, B, C, and D. No, it's a living relationship with the Creator. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than being able to hear His voice, to feel His presence, to know your sins are washed away and forgiven, to know you are full of the Holy Spirit, to know that you have the truth in a world full of lies, to know that if you do have sickness and disease and something threatening your life and your family, that in the name of Jesus, you can fight that off and receive healing. I mean, there's nothing better than that. I can't even imagine now. I mean, living in this world without knowing Jesus in a real and living way, with a real faith and a real relationship and the real power of the Holy Ghost. I can't even imagine how anyone functions. I guess that's why everyone's on antidepressants, because they're living without the power and the presence of Jesus and His Holy Spirit in their lives. That doesn't mean we don't have problems. Lord, we have problems. But you're not alone in this world. That's the good news. You can hear His voice. And see, that's one thing I try to tell people all the time, you know. Yes, I'm called to be in the fivefold ministry. But that doesn't make me special. Every single born-again believer who's willing to surrender their lives, give up their sin, give up their self-will, give up their own plans, give up their doctrines of men and traditions, and believe the Bible, and obey, and seek Him, can learn to hear His voice, can prophesy, can have visions and dreams, can see miracles. Nothing has changed. And you know what's amazing is, as Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, I know a lot of people think that there's a lot of debate about Paul's thorn in the flesh. I don't know why there's any debate about it. I really don't know why. Because Galatians chapter 4 says exactly what his thorn in the flesh was. And he talked about it. He said he had a physical infirmity. I'm bringing this up for a reason. He said he had an infirmity, which means a sickness, a problem, a physical problem. So then in Galatians 4, he's talking about it. He says to the Galatians, he says, you know, when I preached the gospel to you, I had an infirmity, a weakness, a sickness, a malady. Look up the word, in the flesh. So we go, okay, well, what is it? He said, you guys loved me so much. He said, you would have, if you could have, plucked out your own eyes and given them to. So we know it was a problem with his eyes. But here's what I'm getting at. The Apostle Paul, even though he said, I besought the Lord three times that this would leave me, he's a man of faith, it didn't leave him. God left it. But yet this same man would go and preach and see a crippled man and say, rise up and walk, and he would rise up and walk. Or a dead man. You see what I'm saying? Or the man with the issue of blood on the island of Malta. Right? Why? What is the Lord showing us? It's not us. In our weakness, in our own issues that we have, he still wants us to believe that he still heals, that he still will heal the sick and the diseased and the attack through us. If you wait till everything's perfect in your life to step out and do something for God, you will never do it. You hear me? So I want to encourage everyone today. You are God's people. You have far more power residing in you than you can even imagine. But you have to let it out. You have to step out in faith. You have to speak things. You have to pray for people. You have to lay your hands on people. You have to bind the demons. You have to cast them out. You have to believe. If you believe it in your heart, speak it in with your mouth, and step out and do something, things will happen. Amen? And I believe, and I'm just going to say this today, and I'll probably shut up, maybe. But I'll say this today. I believe. I just sense a stirring in my heart that what we're seeing right now is the first fruits of a revival that's coming. And I believe it's coming to America, and I believe it's coming to Canada, and I believe it's coming to a lot of places. Doesn't mean there won't be, you know, the Bible tells us the falling away and the revival of the end times, both are going to happen at the same time. I mean, we're watching that. But God is not finished. He's not finished. And he does things in his time, and he does things in his way. Amen? But something's coming. There's a wave of revival coming again. See, and I've been in it. I told somebody the other day, they were telling me, this lady was telling me about how on fire their church was in the 1970s, early 1970s. Of course, I was just a young kid then. But I remember hearing about, you know, the Jesus movement and the charismatic movement here. And I remember there were some awesome, mighty, and powerful things happening, because it was really what was happening was in Baptist churches, and Catholics and Baptists were, and you know, were getting hit by the power of God and baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and people were getting healed and people starting to prop. So that was just, it was just a tremendous shift within the body of Christ. That doesn't mean there weren't heretics and deceivers and problems. It was, you know, that always comes. With any revival, you get the good and the bad all come up at the same time. But I was saying, you know, I got to see some of that in the late 80s, and then the late 80s was a powerful time. I'm going to tell you, I mean, I saw things happen. It almost like everyone we talked to would get saved. I mean, I would just, it's amazing, because now I have something good. I thought that was normal in the late 1980s. You just go talk to somebody about Jesus and say you want to accept Jesus? Yeah. Or crying, tears running down their face? Yeah, I want to be saved. And then we'd pray for people, and they all of them would be speaking tongues, and then we'd start praying for people, and they'd all be hitting the floor and falling out in the power of God. And we thought that was just normal in the 80s, you know, in the late 80s. That was when I saw people raised from the dead and saw, just mind-blowing stuff. And then it was like there was this another lull, and then the Brownsville revival hit, and then there were things that happened from that, but it's been kind of sparse since Brownsville ended. There was a little spark with the, you know, the, what was it, the Bay of Holy Spirit, you know, with John Kilpatrick and Nathan. There was a little bit, you know, the crippled woman. What was her name? Did y'all see that testimony? Delia, whatever. Yeah. That was a powerful testimony. I mean, that did happen down there. A pastor's wife that had been crippled in a car accident. She had her spinal cord severed, so she was paralyzed from the waist down in a wheelchair for since 1987. She got up out of the wheelchair and walked in that church service. So there's been sparks of things, but what I'm saying is let's not put a limit on what Jesus can and will do. See, part of our problem, and I've had to tell people this many times over the years, you talk to people about these things, about the baptism, whether it be the gifts of the Holy Spirit or healing and miracles. You talk to people about these things, and most of them will say, Baptists especially, well, I know he can do it. Okay, well, obviously that's not getting you anywhere. Right? The issue is not believing that God can do it. Faith believes God will do it for you now, through you now. Do you believe that? I was talking to a brother out in Oklahoma on the phone the other day. I said, you got to believe. I remember I told him the story of this guy, Mitch, who was a Satanist trying to infiltrate our ministry years ago. And Mitch was trying to pretend like he was a Christian, and he came to our Bible study one night, and he was in pain. And I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, my sternum's cracked and it won't heal. It stays cracked. I said, really? He said, I said, well, you believe Jesus will heal you? And I didn't even give him time. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you. All right? So I walked over to him and did just this. I said, in the name of Jesus, I pray this sternum be healed right now. And then, boom! He said it was painful to touch. I punched him hard. Not like I just touched you. I gave him a punch. And it was completely healed, completely gone. But why did I do that? Not because I'm crazy. I did that because I was fully persuaded. I knew that in Jesus' name, when I prayed for him, even though I knew he was a Satanist, that God wanted to touch his life and show him that Jesus is more powerful than the devil. Amen. And wanted to show him that Jesus loved him. And do you know that before he died, he came to see me and he told me, I know you love me. And I know Jesus is who he says he is. I know Jesus is real. And I know it was ruled a suicide, but I don't know that it was. He may have been a martyr. But that's why it's important. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if you're a Christian out there, don't you ever try to tell me that there's something in the Bible we should ignore or that we should set aside or that's not important. To me, that's just, it's unthinkable, because we never know what truth someone may need. Amen? And Jesus is still the healer. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do, ye shall do also. Right? You know, I heard a pastor years ago, and he was true. He said this, let me see if I can find it here. We'll use this. You know the famous verse we hear all the time from John 14. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to that place, he said, I will come again. We always think it's about heaven. He's going to heaven to make us a place. He's already made heaven. Heaven's been made, right? When Jesus was here, he was standing in this place. When he said, I go to prepare a place for you, when he left, we're supposed to be in his place. We're supposed to carry on his ministry, his work, both the gospel of salvation, repentance and salvation, healing, deliverance from demons, the second coming. We are to stand as the church and do the ministry that Jesus did. We're to carry it on. That's the whole, I mean, if you read Mark 16, if you read the Great Commission, if you read all that, that's what it's about. Basically what he said, I'm going. Now I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Now you go. And you do what I did. You know, even Matthew, everybody wants to try to throw Mark out the door because it's so specific. But even Matthew says, Jesus said, go into all nations and teach them all things that I commanded you. Pretty simple to me. Right? Jesus hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't changed. The church just doesn't, for the most part, doesn't believe it. And it doesn't believe it because we want to worry about what the world thinks about us. Can't love the world. If the world loves you, what did Jesus say? He said, they loved the false prophets before. So, the world won't love you. And I guarantee you this, you stand up for Jesus, for the Word of God, all of it, most of the church won't love you either. No, you're a troublemaker. All right. Anybody have anything else they want to share this morning before we dismiss? And this is the earliest ever. But you know, there's no need. There's no need to drag it out because you know what? I think if anything, the prophetic word we received, the testimonies we received this morning, pretty much says one thing. Draw closer to Jesus, get the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, and step out and do the work that he's called you to do. And that work is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost, is to preach the repentance and the remission of sins. It is to preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is to preach deliverance from demons. It is to preach the second coming of Jesus Christ and Bible prophecy. It is to stand for the truth of God's word and to step out with it and to seek God to be a man and woman of prayer so that you can have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing more important in your life as a Christian than to have the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit in your life so that your words are powerful, so that when you lay hands on somebody, you know they're going to be healed, they're going to be touched. That's why, you know, my wife with me, casting demons out of people's easy. You know why? Because in Jesus' name, I know and believe they have to go. When I tell them to go, they have to do what I say. They don't have a choice. As long as you think they have a choice or allow them to have a choice, then they got it. But once you realize in Jesus' name, as a believer, I have the power and authority and the demons are subject to me. If you believe the word of God and you're fully persuaded, guess what? There's no choice. They will go, unless you want them to stay, right? Some people like their demons. They have friends with them. They got used to them, right? Everybody say this with me. Jesus Christ,
Jesus Christ.
The same.
Yesterday,
today,
and forever.
Truth. Let's stand. You know what I'd like to do? Let's do that Lindell song this morning, the Healing in Your Glory. You know what I'm talking about. We're going to worship with this song this morning before we go anywhere. It's such a powerful message. Oh, Facebook, we're just going to let it ride. Fair use. Law, we declare. This is for educational purposes only, Facebook. All right. Let's just worship the Lord for a few more minutes. Yes?
The timing of the sermon, that's good.
Okay. Why don't y'all come? Yeah, come on up here. You can go ahead and start it, brother, whenever you can.
There's healing in your glory.
I just thank you, Lord. I just pray that you'll anoint Marlene and Paul as they go to Miami to minister to their family. God, to drive out cancer and death. To show the resurrection power of Jesus and the truth that they walk in. Father, as an elder in the church, I lay hands upon Marlene and Paul with her. And I pray for the impartation, God, the gifts of healing, that you will, God, begin more healing power through her, through this family. And you will use them in mighty ways. Give them a safe trip to Miami and let your power and glory fall. Gift of faith and the gift of healing and work of miracles will be stirred up to this young man. Make him a man of God, a man of power, a man of miracles. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray this for you. Amen. In Jesus' name. For at least, I thank you for her heart, Lord. Let there be an anointing, a greater anointing, a new anointing, fresh oil that's filling her. Glory to your
I just sense the Spirit of the Lord still here this morning. Just bow your heads for a moment. Let's just wait upon Him for a minute. Lord, we love You. We worship You. Lord, I sense Your glory here. I sense Your presence here. I sense a fresh anointing here, Lord, for healing, for casting out demons, for breaking through into people's lives with the gospel. Now, Marlene, as we were praying and as we were worshiping with that song, and we're going to do that song one more time. That there's an anointing on that song. We're not getting in a hurry, but I want to tell you something. Gilbert, he kept, I don't even know him. I don't even know what he looks like. I just know what's going on. But I just felt the Lord want me to tell you, you and Paul, your family, you go there with a boldness and a confidence and a strength. And you don't take no for an answer. And you go to him and you lay hands on him and you break that curse, that Santeria curse, off of that family in the name of Jesus. And you command that spirit of cancer and that spirit of death to leave him. And I mean loud, bold, strong, no fear, no shame. You go in there and drive it out and shake that family up, and he will be healed. No timidity. Carmen, the Lord wanted me to tell you, people will be healed through your hands. You step out and you lay hands on people because people will be healed. And I see multiple people being healed through you laying hands on them and praying for them. I see it. So don't ever let fear or worrying about what people think or anything, because God's called you, and it really, there's a special anointing on you to heal. So you do it. You turn it loose. Let's do that one more time.
Freedom in your love. Shared them on Facebook, but I just keep just feeling it. So I'm going to share it here. Of course, I think you said this earlier, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And God's just really wanting us to understand this. A lot of us are seeking a lot of things that are not his kingdom or his righteousness in our lives. And we need to shake all that junk off and really, really dig in and really, really seek him and really, really spend time with him. And you would just be amazed, because we're living, it seems like we're living more materialistic. When you said that about being, you know, content spiritually, it just came to me. Most Christians are content spiritually, but they're not content materially. And it needs to be the opposite. And if we would stir ourselves up spiritually and truly seek him and his kingdom and his righteousness in our lives and his will, then all of that would be added. It may not look like what we think it should look like, but it would be added. We would be content. We would be able to walk with joy. I heard an interview earlier this week, and they were saying how Christians used to be the most joyful people. You could tell a Christian they were full of joy. Well, the problem is we're lacking joy because we're not seeking him. We're not in the place of Jesus. We're not doing the things that we were made to do as followers of Christ. So we have no joy. We're just like the world. And then in Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We need to get that in our minds. And God's been bringing back the testimonies of our Dean in my life of just constantly leading us into the place that we need to be. Sometimes it's up to the Red Sea where it looks like there's nowhere to go. But it's been a good thing. He's opened doors. He's done things that we could have never imagined because it's supernatural. And that's what we need to just get, the healing, the deliverance, provision, the things that we need. It's all supernatural, and we need to start walking in the spirit instead of the flesh. That's what's hindering us, the church as a whole, this church. We need to stop looking to the fleshly things, and we need to start walking in the spirit. And so that's just, you know, God has given us awesome testimonies. In the 8 years we've been here, about 8 years, we've only paid rent 2 years. We have not paid rent the majority of the time that we've been here. That's God's power. God can do anything. He doesn't have to be confined to this world and the world's way of doing things. You know, we don't have insurance. When anything comes up, we pray, because we don't have to be confined to the world's system. You have to walk spiritually. We don't do everything perfectly every time, but that's what we rely on. That's where we go. We go to the supernatural first, and God is faithful. So,
good word, babe. Yes. That's it. God is supernatural. We need to believe in the supernatural. Well, like Forrest Gump said, that's all I have to say about that. Y'all ready? James, would you dismiss us this morning?
Heavenly Father, just thank you. Thank you for your goodness and